Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you today, for thou art so worthy of our praise. We thank you, Lord, that you have rescued us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us Jesus Christ, this new and living way to just come boldly in to your presence, Heavenly Father, clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, our Savior. So here we come, boldly into your presence. And I know, Lord, because you tell us your arms are open and you know us by name. Hallelujah. You know every hair on our head. How awesome is that? So we come before you humbled, but we come before you joyful too and thankful. And so hear our praise and worship unto you. Be blessed by the praise of your people. Pour your spirit out upon this place. Cleanse each and every one of us from any and all demonic activity. Just cleanse us now by the blood of Jesus. And you be glorified in your house, O Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord has led me to continue in the themes that have guided me so far as we enter into this new year, which are two things. Know me. By knowing my word and using my word to defend yourselves from the evil one. And number two, are you ready to meet me face to face? You ready? Your day may come. One of the reasons it's on my heart, for those who don't know, is a dear friend of ours who's come here for over 10 years suddenly passed away. And it took me 6 days to get into his place to find that out. We don't know. He didn't know, I don't think. We saw him a few days before, a week or two before. Are we ready? We need to be ready. I've given many of you the scriptures that I use every day to start my day with Jesus Christ in the forefront of my mind. As I have said, I have memorized these scriptures and pray them back to my Lord in the morning, every morning, oftentimes before I even get out of bed. I start there. I just start there. Let the morning bring me word of God's unfailing love, of your unfailing love, for in you I put my trust. 143:8, and there's a whole bunch of them. Kay just told me she doesn't memorize anymore, but she reads them every morning. That's okay, too. It's just a great way to start your day with him. And I have more of them here if anybody wants them. So the point of these two themes is to always be prepared to defend ourselves from the lies and the urgings of the evil one, as well as the urgings of our own flesh. So the word of God is readily on our lips. Just as Jesus defended himself when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, we need to use his word to defend ourselves and to be ready to serve him daily and even to meet him face to face. I believe we live in very perilous times. I don't think our times are much more unusual than any other generation, but here it is with us. And knowing that, we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And so how do we do that? I've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. The Lord's led me to a different place this week. So please turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. We will pray, and then we'll start reading what the Spirit of the Lord says in his word. So Larry, would you pray over the word of God today, please?
Very kind of Father, thank you so much for the privilege of having your word to study, your word to bring us closer to you, your word for leading us the way we should go. Pray that you'll ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon Randy. Give him the words that you want him to say. Open our ears to hear the ones that you want us to hear. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So before we read, I want to kind of explain the setting here in Jeremiah. Otherwise, I'd have to read the whole chapter to you. He's warning the people here of the coming judgment of God. And he's urging them to repent before it's too late. Why is the judgment coming? We see a piece of that in Jeremiah 9, verses 13 and 14. So why is it coming? The Lord said, "It is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They have followed the Baals as their fathers taught them." In our time now, the law is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another, including our neighbors, our friends, our enemies. So how are we doing? Well, I hope, I pray, we are loving our God and loving our neighbors. But how are we doing as a society, as a culture? I think not well. So what are we to do? Let's move on to Jeremiah 9 to 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. So these verses just speak to me about the condition of our culture in the entire world. And so we must repent. We must return to our roots of a simple faith in Christ Jesus as our Savior and turn away from gathering worldly goods and worldly wealth as our means to live well and to be happy, to be content. We live well by following Christ and storing up treasures in heaven. Many of you are familiar with that scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Some awesome things in here. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So is my treasure here on earth, or is it in heaven? What about your treasure? Jesus warns us here, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So look around. What kind of treasures do you have? Are there treasures in heaven or on earth? I know I want my heart to be looking to heaven for treasures and to be in heaven in God's perfect time. And don't you? Isn't that where you want to be? Well, that's where we must set our hearts. So God's word here says that in Jeremiah, if we are to boast, then boast that we understand and know God. And to know God and our Savior, we must constantly be reading his word. To know someone, to know our spouse or our children, our relatives, our friends, even our neighbors, we must be interested in finding out more about them. We must spend time with them and listen to them so that we come to know their character and their likes and their dislikes. We get to know them. We come to know God in the same way, by reading his word and listening to what he says to us through his word. We must just let him speak to us through his word. Perhaps some of us get in a bad habit. Sometimes I feel like I do, but I'm praying, so I'm always praying for something. And God just wants us to listen. And this is how we listen. So we use his word to learn his language and then come to recognize his voice. The more times you spend here listening to him, the more you're going to know his voice. And in knowing God's language, I once used the analogy some time ago of learning a different language than the one with which we are born. I studied German in high school. I went to 4 years of German in high school, and the teacher required that we not speak any English at all in the classroom after the first semester, and we had to pay a nickel for every word of English we spoke out of turn, except when we asked for permission so we could get some understanding. By the time I was done with that class, I had written reports in German. I had done massive amounts of homework. This woman was relentless. Gave us, when we would have our Christmas break for 2 weeks, we would have 2 weeks worth of homework. By the time I was done with that class, I had read All Quiet on the Western Front in German. And I wrote a book report in German on All Quiet on the Western Front. My point is, at the beginning of the class, I knew no German at all. By the end of the 4 years of that class, I was fairly fluent. to the point that I no longer thought in English anymore and then translated my thoughts into German. I thought in German, in the German language. We must know God's word so fluently that we no longer think in our native fallen tongue, but the language of God. If we get that fluent with God's language, we will know his voice, and we will know when the evil one comes alongside and starts telling us lies, because we'll know that's not God's voice. And we will know that when whatever we're hearing is from our flesh, the old Adam in us, or is it from the new Adam, Christ in us, our hope of glory. And do you know what that leads us to next? And this is the point of my message today that God wanted me to put on, he put it on my heart to bring. We will begin to hear in our minds the nudging of the Holy Spirit. We'll hear him. As we know God's word and know his voice, as we keep watch for him, that was the theme this whole year so far, is be ready, keep watch, know his word, know me. As we know his word, as we keep watch for him and stay always at the ready to meet, we will begin to look for and to sense the urging of the Holy Spirit to do something. It may not be big, but he's there every day. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I know I want life and peace. That's what I want. And so we have to have our minds set on that. We're instructed now to live according to the Spirit and not our nature. And I confess that I find my mind often seems set on what the sinful nature desires. This body has five senses that it's demanding. It wants stuff. And it's not always what the Spirit desires. So I have to constantly reset myself a bit and say, Lord, what do you want? Go back to the Spirit. And when I do, I find myself at peace. I find myself joyful. I am the happiest when I know I'm walking in the will of God and doing what he's calling me to do. And so I'm getting better and better at setting my mind on what the Spirit desires and then looking for the Spirit's nudge. You know what a nudge is? It's like when your dog wants something from you and he or she comes up to you and he kind of leans into you. Or he uses his nose to lift his arm and, you know, you're reading a book and he comes over and shakes you up. And then he looks at you. Or it's like when your cat comes up and kind of rubs against you a little bit and starts to meow. Or they lift their paw up and start to smack you a little bit in the face. Yeah. That's the way a cat nudges. It's like when your horse comes up behind you and takes his head and kind of nudges you in the back. And you go, whoa. These nudges produce a response to the one being nudged. And God is calling us to know him, to watch for him, to be ready to serve him, and to be ready even to be with him. And as we wait for that, to look for the nudge of the Holy Spirit, to do something for him in his kingdom. Get our minds off of ourselves and look for what do you want from me today? So are you and I looking for the nudge of the Holy Spirit? I mean, all day long? In your household, right there in your own family, you're looking for a nudge from the Holy Spirit to be kind of a representative of Christ to your family member? In your workplace? In your neighborhood? Or even when you're at the store? I know many of you have told me stories when you would say, I just felt that the Holy Spirit said, go this way. Or give this to that person. Or just go do this. That's the nudge I'm speaking about. Many of you know what I'm talking about. And I believe I and all of us need to get less and less interested in ourselves and much more interested in what the Spirit of God wants us to do. I believe we all need to start looking for what God wants us to do each and every day. We need to start asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do today, this day? Can start the morning saying, nudge me today, Lord, to do something for your kingdom. And don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss the nudge. Don't let me just sort of blow it off. Teach me to be very sensitive to your nudge, to your urgings. I have a couple examples to share with you. I had an urge to do something about Christie's storage unit to be cleaned out. I felt bad as we went there. The family just took the stuff and then they left it. They had a bad relationship, a conversation with the people managing it, and so they just said, we're just going to leave the rest. And it didn't set with me. It seemed dishonoring to me, to God, to leave a mess for the storage unit, and even to our own friend. So I mentioned this to some of you last Sunday, and Michael told me that his mom has a business that cleans out units like this. And he said he would talk to her. So Mike contacted me Tuesday and said they would like to look at it. So we met Friday. I met with your mom, Pam, and her partner, Jen. Looked it over, and they said, well, we could do it. So I wanted to, you know, wait before I made a deal to let Christie's daughters know and see if they're interested in paying for the work. They were being very generous. They said, we won't charge you anything except for what it costs us, which would be, you know, at least one good dump trip with a trailer and a truck. I mean, that could be, you know, $100 or more. So the women, and they're called the Recycle Queens. They told me their whole goal is to come into places like this and recycle everything they can by taking clothing, not to ARC, but to places in need, to people who need them. Furniture, same thing, all this stuff. So they really try to repurpose it, especially to people who really need it. So I thought, well, that's neat. But they got back to me really quickly, a couple hours, not even that, and they said, you know what, we're going to do the work for nothing, no charge. I kind of told them the story while they were there. I had no expectation of this. I just said, I got to decide, and I can't make that call on my own. I got to call the doctors. I was even going to, you know, talk to the board if maybe we could pay for it. They got back to me and said, we'll do it for no charge. What's my point? Follow the nudge. I was nudged to do something about that storage unit. Michael was nudged to mention it to his mom. She was nudged to look into it. And then the women were nudged to not even charge for the work. And in the end, God's will was accomplished, and he was receiving all the praise for his mercy and his grace. The daughters were so grateful that it was taken care of. I think, in a sense, they did feel kind of bad about it. It's just follow the nudge, and you see all the nudges down the way. If we look for and follow the urgings of God's Holy Spirit all day long, what amazing things will he be able to do to accomplish for his glory through you and me? So I have another story. Same day, I'm coming back from meeting the Recycle Queens. I love that. And I had a nudge to go to the Alpha Center and meet with the business manager there because I know him from his work at the Fort Collins Rescue Mission. He used to lead that up. His name is Tom. And I haven't spoken to him since he's been working at the Alpha Center. In fact, I hadn't spoken to him for a couple years. But I had a nudge. So I quickly turned down a side street, made a U-turn, went over to the Alpha Center, and he was in. And he was able to visit with me, and we reconnected. And in the course of conversation, I asked how his bride and his family were doing, and it turns out they're really struggling right now. So we talked about it, and then we talked about the church here and how I was doing, and we prayed together. It was a great encouragement to both of us. And he even told me he was just such an encourager. And it was most unexpected. Definitely not planned. At least not by Tom or I. But don't you think God was planning it all along? And he gave me a nudge by his Holy Spirit. It's important to know that God is involved in all of we do in our days, all the time. Friday was just another day. But God had a plan for Tom and I that day. God had a plan for taking care of Christie's storage unit that day in a way that honored God and gave him praise that day. I just went along for the ride. I just went along for the ride as I responded to the urging of the Holy Spirit, and I had a blessed day. Those are blessed days to me. So let us Think about that every day. Let us be a day of discovery of what God would like to do with us today, this day. In the morning when you get up, what do you want to do with me today? And let's start our day in prayer, as I've been talking about, in thanksgiving, praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's Ephesians 6. So, you know, praying for all the saints, praying His Word into our hearts, our souls, our minds, and reading His Word so that we get to know Him and know His voice, and we hear Him urging us into action. And let us pray for and look for the Spirit's nudge in everything, even the little things, like giving someone a grocery store bag because they didn't have one. That's Ken's story of responding to the nudge. Woman was in the store, didn't have a bag, weren't any bags available because it was Walmart, and the only bags you can get, you have to buy over here, and they aren't 10 cents. And he just pulled out a bag, and he had a bag, a bunch of them. It was the Spirit's nudge. And Ken has told me the story a couple of times already, so it sees how joyful he was to be ready to respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit and put a smile on someone's face. Let us look for every opportunity to reflect that love, the love of Christ in us, to everyone we interact with. Let us be ready to serve one another. God calls us to love Him. You guys know this, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as we love ourselves. The way we show God that we truly do love Him is to love one another, to serve one another. I've often said this to people when they say, well, you know, where I worship is up in the mountains or along the rivers or wherever, because that's peace and the presence of God is so strong. I said, yeah, with you. But you can't serve Him there. You can find Him there. You can worship Him there. But you can't serve Him there. Because the only way we serve God is by serving one another. And that's the point of a fellowship. That's the point of community amongst believers. We serve God by serving one another. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:12, so in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. We learned that as children, right? The golden rule. But I was raised in the church. I don't remember that part, for this sums up the law and the prophets. But that's what He says. So if you want to be, you know, following the law, like we read in Jeremiah, you're not following my law. You want to follow our law? Well, do to others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus also tells us in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I've done a whole series just on that scripture. But did you hear the standard of love that Jesus set forth? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's a high standard. It's a choice, though. I've often said it doesn't mean we have to like each other, but we must love each other. And if we start doing that, we become, we like each other. And how do you love someone that you just, first step, pray for them. If you pray for someone every day, you can't stop thinking lovingly about them. Pray for them. So are you ready? You ready to start to change the world, the whole world around you, your world? We love one another. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Ask for God to nudge you with His Holy Spirit. And look for the nudge. Seek the nudge. Ask for the nudge. Follow the nudge. And see what God will do with you in the everydayness of your life. Just the everydayness. And perhaps I should say, see what you will do with God in the everydayness of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to be that connected to you, that all the things of this world just sort of fade away. And we don't think about that. We think about serving you. We think about walking in your favor. And even in troubled times, walking, that you are walking with us. And we help us to find what great joy there is in serving you in that way and follow the nudge. Let us be sensitive to you're urging for us to go this way or go that way or do this, do that. And instead of doubting it and questioning it, Let us know your word so well that when we hear that, we will just do it and see what you will do with us. That is our prayer. Help us to get there, Lord. Draw us as only you can. Draw us to your word. Draw us to prayer with you. And draw us into a love relationship with each and every one of us around us. And serve you. Do unto others. Follow the nudge. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.